they have rejected Christ and continued to reject Christ. A little excerpt from that story. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, this is a quote, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether it takes a short time or a long time, I would to God that not only you, Agrippa, but also all those who hear me this day might become as I am, except for these chains. So Paul was offering freedom in Christ. And he said, you know, guys, and what love, the love of Christ that motivated him to say that while he was bound in prison. So just an example of the two kinds of things, the two kinds of freedoms. You know, so on this first slide, I just put freedom and then a number of scriptures. And if you go back just to that one, yeah, just a number of scriptures that talk about freedom. And I would encourage you, we'll look at a few of those during this time in the Word today. But on the next slide, I just said the gift of freedom raises some questions. And I just, maybe you have questions like these. Maybe you have other questions. First of all, what has been purchased for us at a great cost? And you think both nationally and spiritually, what has been purchased for us at a great cost? And certainly I want to speak to the fact that I am glad to live here in America. I am thankful for those who have sacrificed, who have, I'll tell you, many of you have served in the armed forces. You're here by the grace of God, and I'm glad you're here. But many of your comrades are not here. Some years ago, there was a young friend of ours. His name was Danny Salanoa, and he came and spoke here on a Veterans Day, one Sunday, a few years ago. But he was a medic, and he lost many soldiers at his hand as a young 19, 20, 21-year-old medic. He certainly knew the cost, the sacrifice that was being made. When we know a sacrifice has been made, it should change how we live. And of course, Christ, you know the whole story of the gospel. God in the flesh came without sin, accused, sentenced, crucified, completely without guilt. And yet it is his blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, that was sacrificed so that we could have faith and trust in Christ and be saved. This first question, what has been purchased for us at great cost? Secondly, what sacrifice has been made so that we can be free? Similar question. And then another question, have you ever known bondage? Have you ever known oppression, guilt of sin, or felt the nearness of hell? It's that kind of person that needs freedom. Needs freedom. Who would sacrifice that we could be set free? And the one who would sacrifice for us to be set free. And then again, as I said, how does this knowledge change the way that we live? I know that people have differing opinions about the state of our nation. And they may disagree with the way some political leaders are leading. I disagree with some of the ways that political leaders are leading. But somehow we need to differentiate that from the price that's been paid for the freedoms that we enjoy. We still live in a marvelous nation. And lastly, what do we say to those who have sacrificed all for our freedom. And that really has at least two applications. You know, I was at the airport this, I guess it was Friday evening. It was a young person in uniform, and I just can't help but say thank you. What do we say to those who've sacrificed all for our freedom? And then, of course, this morning, by praising God in song and by taking communion, we're saying thank you to the Lord for what he has done and what he has sacrificed for our eternal freedom. So, you know, in the scriptures, especially this is reflected in Romans chapter 6, it says every individual person has a master. Okay? So your master is either Christ or Satan. Those are the two choices. So if you're a believer and you follow Christ, then your master is Christ. If you've rejected Christ, then your master is Satan. And then I just thought, you know, I'm just going to compare these. What does God provide for us? If you're following Christ and you have Christ as your master, he provides freedom from sin and its power. Praise God. Doesn't mean we're sinless, but he provides freedom from sins and its power. He provides forgiveness of sin. He gives us a new nature. He redeems us for heaven. You know, I know that we're not in heaven yet, but think about where we're going. We're saying, I can only imagine this morning. I can only imagine what God has prepared for us. Also, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is living inside us, is living inside you. And then the last thing I noted was the result of serving Christ is peace and joy and life. And we sang about that this morning. Now, what does Satan provide? If you choose to follow Satan, what does he provide? He provides bondage to sin and further consequences in your life. You're just going to experience pain and suffering and terrible things. Satan provides the possibility to keep your old fleshly nature. You have a flesh nature, and that continues. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So the one who has Satan as his master, the wages of death and hell. And in that case, they have the indwelling satanic or demonic spirits, or at least they can have those indwelling in them. And I'll tell you, those people, maybe you've known some, who reject Christ and only follow their own flesh and follow the enemy, and they are miserable. Boy, I tell you, it is... You want to become passionate about loving them for the gospel's sake, sharing with them hope. Sometimes it's time to share, and sometimes you maybe hold your tongue and just pray. But wow, they need a new spirit. And following Satan leads to death, guilt, and destruction. I was thinking about this simple verse where Jesus says these words in John 10, verses 9 through 11. On the next slide, and I, by the way, I know this is hard to see, and we're working on what to do as far as a new projector, but they're not cheap, and so let's go to the next slide, Joe, if you guys can back there. Joe, can you go to the next slide for us? This scripture in John 10, it says, Jesus says in John 10, 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture, talking as a shepherd. Verse 10, the thief, which is representing Satan, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And there's so much about freedom and sacrifice in these verses, but just look at the two masters. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You guys, that is the enemy's MO. That's what the enemy does. Steals, kills, and destroys. John 10, Jesus tells us that. And when you look at the world and you think, well, you know, We live in the world, but in Christ, we're not of the world, but we bump into a lot of people who are of the world, and they look kind of okay, but they're not. And their result, their end play is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the seminary professors I had years ago talked a lot about deceiving and deception, that Satan is a deceiver, and he deceives and the unbeliever. He even tries to deceive the believers, but he deceives the unbeliever to help to cause them to think that it's all just fine. They don't need a savior. They don't need Christ. Life is just fine. You know people like that? And they're not fine. So in a real simple way, I just thought I'm going to give a little definition for freedom. And Merriam-Webster, I looked at Oxford and Merriam-Webster, and I just picked one. But the definition of freedom, the quality or state of being free. Now, that's pretty vague. A, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Okay? So there's the absence of coercion or constraint in choice or action. In other words, you are free to decide what you want to decide in freedom. And by the way, the freedoms that we have right now in America are amazing. And the freedoms you have in Christ are amazing. B, the liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another, being independent. That's part of the definition of freedom. And then C, the quality or state of being exempt or released, usually from something onerous. I have a book. It's called Jesus Freaks. And there are two or three different versions. You kind of laugh at the title, but Jesus Freaks was a set of devotional books. And I think, were they created by Mercy Me?
No, DC Talk.
Thank you. DC Talk. I appreciate that help. And they were stories of martyrs for the faith. And these people were called Jesus Freaks because they would not denounce Christ. They would stand up for the name of Christ no matter what. And I thought about reading an excerpt, but most of them had to do with martyrdom. And I was kind of looking for a story that had to do with freedom from being imprisoned, the idea of being set free. But you can see this. And, you know, I don't want to talk about national freedom or the nation very much, but I'm just going to say out loud, in preparing for this sermon, I read the Declaration of Independence, I read the Constitution, and I read the Bill of Rights. And you know, it's very simple. They are very simple documents. And they just talk about a people who have created a way to live in freedom. And I'm not sure what they would change if they changed the documents. People are talking about changing the documents. There's not much there, and there's not much to change. It's a pretty basic structure that maintains the national freedoms that we have. And if you get a hankering to, they're all on Google Docs or any search engine. You can find the documents and read them. Okay, changing gears just a little bit. So Jesus came with a purpose. And it's both in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61 and in Luke chapter 4. In fact, it's in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 61 and in Luke chapter 4. And this is what the scripture says. And I just wrote, the reason Messiah exists, completing his Father's will. Here's what Jesus said. Do you remember the story? Jesus is in the temple. He's a younger man, and he's in the temple, and it's time for scripture reading. And so it says the attendant took out the scripture, and it says Jesus' regular practice was to be in the temple. And I thought, that's a great example for us, a regular practice of us being in the church, being with other believers. And they read scripture. They do just what we do. And he picked up the scripture, and the attendant handed it to him, and the reading that day was Isaiah chapter 61. And so Jesus reads it, Luke quotes it, and here it is. Here's what Jesus reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That's like anointing a king. He has called me for this purpose. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And if you were just to simply read that passage in Luke chapter 4, what you'd find is Jesus is really laying out his ministry. And what he says, so he picks it up, he reads the scripture, he hands it back to the attendant, and he says to everybody, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence. Okay, look at this scripture with me. You can either look in your Bible at Luke 4:18 or look up on the screen. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, that he is going to proclaim saving news to the poor. He's going to proclaim truth to the poor that will help them no longer be poor, but what? Rich in him. Not financially rich, spiritually rich in him. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, just think of Paul before Agrippa, and you think of that application that Paul was indeed free, even though he was chained. He said, God has called me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has called me for the recovering of sight to the blind. So you have two conditions. You have physical blindness that Jesus did heal people from. He didn't promise healing, but he did heal people that were blind. And he also said, I've come to give sight to the blind, people that were spiritually blind. Jesus said, I've come to give them sight, truth, insight, so that they would no longer be blind, but they would be seeing. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so you have all these incredible statements of freedom that Christ is bringing to the people. So now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to talk about two things. One is the master concept, that you either serve one master or another. You either serve Christ or you serve Satan. And what Christ has done about that. So Romans chapter 6, verse 20, he says this, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's kind of a play on words, but he says, when you were unsaved, when you were a slave of sin, you didn't have any understanding of righteousness. You didn't have any conscience for righteousness. Well, you probably had some because God had given you a conscience. But you were free in regard to righteousness. Verse 21, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And there's just these incredible concepts in this verse. So first of all, when you were unsaved, you were free from righteousness. You had a difficulty doing righteousness, a difficulty obeying God. You didn't love God, so the commandments were burdensome, as Jay said earlier. But it says, what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? So let me just ask you, before we were saved and when you were doing the things of the unsaved, what was the value of that fruit? Where did it get you? You know? Pain, suffering, consequence, and so on. What fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. And I'll tell you, there's just an opportunity for the gospel in almost every line of scripture, but that's what happens when people don't trust in Christ. The end thereof is the way of death. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin, having trusted Christ as your Savior, now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. And that sanctification is the process of growing and obeying Christ and following Christ and being a diligent disciple of Christ. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become a slave to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end or the conclusion is eternal life. And then this famous verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you memorized that one as a kid? The wages of sin is death. All right, so let's jump to the next slide. This little title, you were once under sin's bondage, but now you are free in Christ. And I just thought, well, I'm going to use the word freedom and just kind of break this down a little bit. So what I did was I broke it down from free and dumb, freedom. And then, so in Christ are the first four, and then what you're free from. And that's what God did. He freed us from these things. So F, freedom from sin's bondage and its consequence. Man, that is a great blessing that we have in Christ. If you die without Christ, you die being unforgiven, and you will eternally pay a penalty, a consequence, for your rejection of Christ. If you're in Christ, you have been forgiven, redeemed. That first line, freedom from sin's bondage and its consequence. What a beautiful freedom. Number two, R, redemption by Christ's righteousness and not of ourselves. So we have been set free from sin and the consequence of sin. We've been redeemed by Christ. We have his righteousness. It's not of ourselves, but it's all of him. The third thing, you've exited from bondage to sin and its oppression. Praise God for that. And the fourth thing, you now enter joy and freedom of the Lord. And, you know, I know that your life is probably challenging. You're buying $30 bales of hay, and you're dealing, actually, this 4th of July weekend is about the coolest one I've ever seen. It could be 105 degrees out there. But I know that we suffer on a temporal level a little bit. But boy, we have joy in Christ. Incredible joy in Christ along the way. And then what are we free from? We're free from D, the dominion of Satan and his false and deceiving claims. And I'll tell you, Satan is such a deceiver. You know, one of the things that it says we're free from sin and we are free now to do the righteousness of Christ. We were once under the master called Satan. We have been delivered from that, and now we are under the master who is Christ, and we are free to live in Christ, in righteousness, experiencing joy and peace and grace and so on. This D again, dominion of Satan and his false and deceiving claims. You know, friends, we know people that are deceived. We know people who are believing the deceiving claims of Satan. And it is a terrible place to be. We do have good news, and we need to share it. Oh, the oppression, we are free from the oppression of sin and its temporary and eternal damnation. Man, it's good to be free from the oppression of sin. And then M, we're free from the manipulation of this sinful world and the flesh. So freedom. Freedom has great things. We're free in Christ, and he has delivered us from these other kinds of things. Now I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and just read these scriptures for a moment. Because now we are not only free from the condemnation and the deception of Satan, but we are free to walk with Christ. And here's what Paul says. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a big freedom, you guys. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord, for that. In fact, if we could take time and just have testimony about how you have been set free from the consequences and you have now been born into Christ and can live for him, I think we'd have a lot of testimonies of what God has done. Praise him. Verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And then verse 4, these first few words, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we have been freed from the condemnation. We've been freed from sin. We've been freed from the fear of hell. And we have been born into Christ, so now that we can walk with him, we can obey him, we can serve him, and we live not according to the law, but we live according to the Spirit. Then continue down in Romans chapter 5, and let me just look through this scripture with you for just a moment. In Romans 6, verse 5, on the next slide, Joe, it says this, for if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. By the way, you should be looking forward to that. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one or a person who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And God makes that possible for you to live like that. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, there's just a little, I guess it's kind of a little advertisement in the middle of this sermon. Here's what this scripture says, and I just wrote at the top, God, the triune God, the triunity God, it says, the Spirit is the Lord working in believers. By the way, I'm always looking in scriptures to see where God the Father is shown as God, God the Son is shown as God, and God the Spirit is shown as God. And this verse is amazing. Verse chapter 3, verse 16 says, but when one turns to the Lord, and who is that? That's you, that's me. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. That's an Old Testament reference, right? The Holy of Holies, and there was a veil, and the people couldn't go in. The veil's been removed, so you can be in the presence of God. Verse 17, now the Lord, just look at these words for a second. The Lord is the Spirit. That's good. That's a good teaching from Paul. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. Amen. So where is this? It's in the believer. And then verse 18, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who what? Is the Spirit. And I just want you to see how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together. Galatians chapter 5. So the life of freedom, what he says to us is, you once served the enemy, now you're serving Christ. Now that you're serving Christ, don't get tangled up with the enemy again. Now, that's where we all struggle. We've trusted Christ, we believe in Christ, but sometimes temptation through any means can enter into our thinking. And this scripture, Now that you have the life of freedom, don't get tangled again in sin's trap. Galatians 5 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." So we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. We've turned from the enemy, from the master, Satan. We're under bondage to sin, and we've turned to Christ. Now he says, be careful. Don't believe the deceiver's lies. Be careful. Walk in the freedom that Christ has given to you. He says it this way, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know this phrase, an opportunity for the flesh? We have sinful opportunities that face us how often? All the time. All the time. He says, do not use your freedom in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. We're safe in the hands of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But don't let that precious blessing and freedom cause you to be lazy in your faith and use that as an opportunity to sin. You know, in Romans 6:1, it says, what shall we say then? Since we're in Christ, how does it say it? It says, what shall we say then? Thank you. Shall we continue in sin that Christ may abound? In other words, don't take your faith for granted, but walk in the freedoms that God has given you. It says in verse 16, but I say, walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There's a war going on. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And in this case, the want to do is to do God's will, to do what's pleasing to Christ. So there's this challenge for us in these verses, that now that we have the life of freedom, don't get entangled again with a life of sin. Don't get entangled in sin's trap. Walk away from it. You remember the story about David to Joseph in the Old Testament, and he came to live in Potiphar's house, and when he was tempted, what did he do when sin faced him? He ran. And there's an example and many examples in Scripture. There's no temptation that's taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. And there are many times where we just need to turn and run from sin. Run away from it. I'll tell you, right there is where the rubber meets the road for all of us. Because sin can come in many different forms. So in verse 16 again, he says, I say, walk by the Spirit. And if you just break that down, walk by the Spirit, what does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit of God. Walk in the Word of God. I'm just going to say again, I don't know if your Bible is your friend, but spend time getting to know God, getting to know His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in repentance and confession and thanksgiving before God. I say, walk in the Spirit. Then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And then there's this list of the works of the flesh that is a sermon in itself. But he says in verse 21, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then I highlighted these words. Paul says, against these things, there is no law against these things. These are the right and godly things to do. This is what you should be focusing on. Against these, there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever walked through snowy ground, or you've walked through mud, or somewhere where you needed to keep pace with the person who was in front of you. You wanted to, you know, you wanted to walk on solid ground and not on soggy ground, or you wanted to keep in the, and so you keep in step with, right? You use their footprints. And in this case, he's saying, if we walk by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know, we're walking with the Spirit of God. Just don't go traipsing off on your own. All right. So just a couple more things. And Tim, I wanted to ask you, do you need a chair when you're up here? Okay. A special blessing for you at the end of our service. So fruits in life. There are fruits of bondage and there are fruits of freedom in Christ. We kind of already talked about these, but the fruit of sin is this kind of stuff. Pain and guilt and unclear conscience and consequence, habits, oppressions, loneliness, isolation, temporary highs, death and hell. And then there's the fruit of freedom in Christ. Grace and peace and joy and clear conscience from practicing things which have only positive consequence or blessing. The joy of being right with God, continual joy, and the blessing of a home in heaven with God. And we have been saved, we have been set free to walk with Christ and have the blessings that God has for us. Okay, the last slide. How can believers help others find true freedom? Just a simple kind of an instruction for us. How can we help others find true freedom? The first one, just acknowledge where you came from. Acknowledge in your own testimony where you've come from and how God has saved you, taken you from bondage to freedom. Secondly, accept the responsibility to maintain a clear conscience. That's accepting the responsibility. Yes, I've been set free to live in Christ, to walk and serve Him. And lastly, allow God to use you to advance His mercy and forgiveness to others. Tell other people how to have freedom in Christ. So this morning, I just wanted to give you a few thoughts about freedom. We happen to live in a place where we can still worship, and many of you have said that over and over again, and we live in a place where people don't shut us down yet for worshiping together. We're blessed with that. And then we have freedom in Christ spiritually, so that we can be like the Apostle Paul when he was standing before Agrippa. And he says, you know what, Agrippa, I'm free, and I wish for you to be free as well, except for these chains. So I'm going to pray, and then Tim is going to lead us in a song. And I think many of you will know it, and I'd encourage you to sing along once he's kind of gotten us started. Tim, why don't you come while I pray? Father, I thank you for this day we call Independence Day tomorrow. I thank you that you've not only given us a wonderful nation to live in, but Lord, I thank you for the wonderful freedoms that we have as believers in Christ. Father, I thank you that you have saved us and freed us for a purpose, that we might walk in Christ, that we might also offer to others freedom in Christ. Lord, may we give you glory and honor. Give us the strength, Holy Spirit, to walk with you. Help us to be there for each other, to encourage each other to walk in you. Help us be willing when we sin to confess our sin, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we want to lift up your name. You are the one who sacrificed. You are the one who paid it all so that we would have this freedom. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Why don't you stand together and listen, and Tim will lead us. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Tim has been a blessing to me many times, and God has gifted him, and I'm glad he was willing to share with us today. I want to invite you all that in Jackson this afternoon at dusk, there is just going to be a beautiful fireworks display.
It starts at 6, though, with games and lots of fun stuff. It's all free, and it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I thought they weren't having the school site open this year. It's not read that wrong.
Well, I looked online. They said it's
going to
be at
6 o'clock.
Yes. Where?
It's in
junior. No, it's at Mark. No, that's at school.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. If you want a wonderful fireworks display, look online. Okay.
They're having the fireworks, but you're going to have to find another place to watch them from because there's construction going on there, and they are not letting you on the school.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's what I read.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not up at the school.
Well, call Jenny and Brad.
Yeah.
And for many, many years, they have had this amazing fireworks display, and the Kiwanis there put it on, and it's a beautiful presentation. So. It's at dusk. Let's pray, and then you can go. Father, we are grateful for this morning. Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. We give you praise for the freedom that you have purchased for us. Lord, we are yours. We are grateful. We want to praise you. We do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Independence Day. Said to